smarterpodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 4. I'm Fred Green. Joining me as always is technical specialist for Edwin Watts Golf, Kenny Nicholson. Hey, Kenny, how you doing?
Good, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for joining me again. I understand you have an announcement to start the show.
Absolutely, I do. We actually were giving away from the last Golf Better show either a Frankly Frog putter by Frank Thomas or a Scotty Cameron putter. And we did this electronically. I didn't even get to choose this winner. So Joseph Ferraro from Sutton, Massachusetts, congratulations. You have your choice of either one of those putters.
Wow. Congratulations, Joseph. Thank you for participating. And, of course, thank you for listening to the Golf Better podcast at Edwin Watts Golf. We appreciate it. To get started on our next show, Kenny, I wanted to ask one of the questions that we received from a listener at the Golf Smarter podcast. This question comes from Jason Tello of Eagan, Minnesota, and he just asks, can you do a show about hybrid clubs? He really wants more information on how they can improve your game and which brands are better. Can you give us a little basis on hybrids before we get started, Kenny?
Yeah, real quick. With the innovation of hybrids, what they were able to do was create a golf club that's similar to that of an iron, resembles that of a wood. So what they've done is they've with more perimeter weighting on the golf club, they're able to lower the center of gravity and increase the moment of inertia. So by lowering the center of gravity, you're able to get the ball in the air a lot quicker than you are with a long iron. And with a higher moment of inertia, you have less movement of the golf club, basically. So you're going to hit the club straighter and further. And it also cuts through the grass a lot easier. You don't have as much drag on the golf club, especially in the rough or in the fairway. So there, as far as brand specific, though, there's not one brand out there that makes a hybrid that's superior than others. If there was, there would be just that one golf club being sold and not a plethora of others. So, you know, what you have to do is go out there and try different golf clubs and see which one fits your game the best. So, good question.
Yeah, good question, Jason. Great answer, Kenny. And for sending in the question that we've used on the show, we're going to send Jason a new hat with the Golf Smarter logo. If you're new to our podcast, we produce the Golf Smarter podcast every week and receive a wide range of advice and insights from golf professionals that includes the inner game, strategy, and conditioning that listeners say really helps lower their score and improves their enjoyment of the game. Kenny joins us each episode to answer questions and give advice on how to be a smarter golf consumer. So if you have a question on a specific product or a line of golf products, please visit our website at golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the Ask Kenny button. Make sure you include your name and shipping address so that we can send you the hat if we use your question on the show. Now, to get some more insight and technical depth about hybrid clubs, we've asked John K. Solheim, Vice President of Engineering for Ping, to join us. John K. graduated summa cum laude with a degree in mechanical engineering from Arizona State University, where he later went on to earn an executive MBA degree. Ping was founded by his grandfather, Karsten Solheim, and is currently under the direction of his father, John A. Solheim. John K. didn't walk into his position as VP of engineering. He actually started working in the company's engineering department while still in high school. Upon earning his undergraduate degree, John K. went to work full-time for Ping as a design engineer and project manager. Welcome, John K.
Thank you.
It's glad to have you on the show. We appreciate you spending some time with us. The Solheim family is famous in golf for innovation, and you are continuing in that line. Have you always wanted to get into the golf industry? How did that work for you?
Well, you know, I pretty much grew up in it. It's all I've ever known. Back in high school was kind of when I first started working here at Ping and just took an interest in the engineering. Liked working with the computers and being able to draw different designs on the computer. So for some reason, after my freshman year of high school, I kind of declared I wanted to be an engineer and never really veered from that path.
But you wanted to be a golf engineer?
I guess that was just always part of the deal. I never really thought about it as a golf engineer, but just an engineer that does golf, I guess.
it's in your blood, no question about it.
Yeah.
And is it other family members as well? I mean, you got cousins and things, or is it pretty much centered around you now?
There's lots of family here. I hadn't really thought about it, but I think I am the only engineer in the family, or at least like degreed engineer. I'm the only one working in engineering. My dad's really involved with the golf club design. So really the two of us are kind of the Solheims that get really involved in golf club design. Got two brothers working here. Andy runs the customer service area and customer service and club fitting area. And my brother David works in our communications and advertising area.
Did you grow up talking to your dad about engineering, or did it not really occur until you got older?
I don't know. I guess there's never been like big engineering discussions. So I would say not a whole lot of, you know, family talk around the dinner table about center of gravity positions and long jumps and stuff like that.
Well, let's talk about hybrids, and that's really what we're focusing on today. What is a hybrid meant to do?
Well, really, we see the biggest gain of a hybrid is to take those probably the most difficult shots in golf, you know, the long two-iron shot where you're about 200, 210 yards out, and make that shot much easier to hit by using a hybrid rather than a long iron. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, you know, it depends on the level of golf or the swing speed. Sometimes that's a two-iron replacement. Sometimes it could go all the way down to replacing, like, your six and five-iron.
And is it meant to be a replacement in your bag or an addition in your bag?
Well, you know, most people out there have 14 clubs in their bag. So the way I see it, it's pretty much got to be a replacement. And if you're carrying, you know, a hybrid that matches up with, like, your two or three or four-iron, there's not going to be a whole lot of times when you're going to want to hit the 4-iron, you know, over your hybrid. Most people just perform a lot better with that hybrid. So I really see it as a replacement. And it could replace some of the higher lofted fairway woods in your bag as well.
John, what effect has new geometry and high MOI design had on hybrid design, if anything? Now you have drivers that have square technology, and people are trying to take advantage of making clubs a little bit wider so they can increase moment of inertia. Is that are hybrids following in that same footstep?
Well, not so much. I mean, the main reason we see square drivers is because of the rules that the USGA has put in place, where they have a maximum volume as well as now a maximum MOI. But because of that maximum volume, and then they also give you a box that the club has to sit inside, the best way to get a high MOI is to kind of make that club square. There's not that restriction, or I guess there probably is on a hybrid, but no one's making hybrids that big, so you don't see the square shapes coming out because they aren't bumping up against the rules. As far as performance-wise, I wouldn't see square giving you any benefit in a hybrid.
The question we get a lot from consumers is, you know, why is a hybrid so much easier to hit than a long iron? You can articulate that
The main reason is the CG position. So compared to, like, your longer irons, the CG is much further back. Further back CG is going to allow you to hit the ball higher. The club's going to dynamically loft more. It's also going to produce some more spin, so it's just going to produce a higher ball flight for the individual. So that makes it a lot easier to get up in the air. You know, people struggle a lot of times with 2 and 3 irons just getting the ball in the air. And the fact that it has a wide sole, it's going to go through the ground easier. It's not going to get hung up. So a lot of times you hit a 3-iron fat. Since the hybrid's got that wide sole, it goes through the ground much smoother.
So in essence, a hybrid is going to have a higher moment of inertia than an iron is because it's got a deeper back to it, basically more perimeter weighting?
Yeah. I'd have to look at the numbers because the clubs are a little longer. They have usually graphite shafts, so they've got lighter shafts, so that allows you to have a little bit more head weight, but because they're longer, they've got to be a little lighter, and weight's directly correlated to MOI. So I'd have to look up the numbers. I would tend to agree with you that the hybrid's got a higher MOI. But really, with the hybrid, We see CG as kind of the most important fact in its design. Really, I mean, it's always a balancing act. Right now, MOI has all the buzz because that's the latest rule that the USGA has made. But it's a combination of all, you know, MOI, CG position, lofts, you know, getting the club fit for the individual. All those things go together to make the golf club work right.
I wanted to ask you, when you mentioned about getting fit for the individual, how should a person know how many hybrids they should carry in their bag and which ones they should carry?
Well, the easiest way is to just kind of look at their swing speed or you know, how far they're hitting their clubs. As your swing speeds go down, you're going to start seeing as you get to your 6, 5, 4 iron that all those clubs start going the same distance for you. So really they're not serving a purpose in your bag. Unless, you know, on that one occasion you really catch that 3-iron good, it tends to go further than your 4-iron. But most of the time it's going about the same distance. So that's the point where you should switch over to hybrid. So in our fitting process, we kind of recommend if someone swings their driver around 100 miles per hour, probably around that 5-iron is where they need to start thinking about going to a hybrid. They could either play a 5-iron or a hybrid, like a 28-degree hybrid, or definitely at the 4-iron. They're going to start losing distance with their irons compared to their hybrids.
Well, that's a great piece of advice.
I'm taking notes.
That's yeah, so am I. It's really a good piece. Is the hybrid really revolutionizing iron design?
You know, it's definitely got us thinking differently. You know, used to be when we designed an iron, it was, you know, let's do the 2 through L wedge and don't think twice about it. So now we think more, what can we do to those long irons if someone really wants them, you know, to make them play more like a hybrid. So if you look at our new iron designs, they've got much wider soles, especially on those long irons. Trying to do similar things to what a hybrid does, move that CG back to help that ball get up in the air easier for the golfer.
So this is more of an evolution in design than a revolution?
It's a pretty big change. I think it's pretty substantial from, you know, the difficulty people used to have hitting those, you know, 190 to 210-yard iron shots to, not that they're hitting the green every time now with the hybrid, but they're definitely able to, you know, make solid contact much more often.
John, what impact has hybrids had on the PGA Tour player?
It's been significant. I think just about everybody has at least one hybrid in play. I don't know the exact numbers, but of our staff guys, I'm not sure of anyone who's not playing at least one hybrid. And I think Chris Riley, I think he won on the Nationwide, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? And he had 4 hybrids in play.
I got a question from Ed Mikus in Larchmont, New York, who wanted to know, what are your thoughts about hybrids versus fairway woods? A friend of his replaced his 5-wood with an 18-degree hybrid, and he just wants to know how you would feel about that and what recommendations you could make.
You know, if it works for the golfer, it's definitely the way to go. It really comes down to a fitting. We've seen, you know, normally they replace the irons. On occasion, they can replace the fairway woods, especially those high-lofted fairway woods. So it's really what they're more comfortable. If they've got more confidence hitting that hybrid than they do their fairway woods, you know, I wouldn't take that away from them and say, yeah, definitely play the hybrid. Some people are real comfortable with those high-lofted fairway woods and probably better just to stay with those.
But in essence, you're not really comparing apples and apples and oranges to oranges when you try to replace a fairway wood with a hybrid that's the same loft because the shaft length is going to be longer on a fairway wood, correct?
Yeah, fairway woods are traditionally a little longer. So,
that's the big question that we get. I think there's a misconception out there with some that, you know, they think if they get the same loft, they can just replace that club as a fairway wood. And in essence, you're not generating as much club head speed, so you're not going to hit the ball as far. So, you know, you might be able to answer that a little bit better.
Yeah, fairway woods definitely go further than hybrids. So you kind of have to look at where your set, you know, where the crossovers are. So looking at my chart here I just brought up, for like a 90-mile-an-hour drive swinger, someone who swings their drive 90 miles an hour, their 5-woods going to be kind of comparable to the 18-degree hybrid, but that 5-wood's going to actually probably go about 5 yards further for them. So at that slower swing speeds, they kind of start seeing the same thing that happens in irons, where you start hitting your long irons all the same distance. The same thing will happen in a hybrid as you get to the less loft hybrids. So that's why you want to go to a fairway wood then to get that CG even further back, so they can kind of maintain some steady gaps between their clubs. I don't know if that was how clear.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's really that's Kenny. You've never talked about that chart before. You know, someone else was writing about when they play in Europe, where the grass and the fairways are cut shorter, and then the fairways get quite hard. He's looking at hybrids right now and wants to know your opinion on if this will help him tremendously. And this comes from Marty Nalty in Surrey, England. He wants to know if a hybrid's going to help him out a lot there.
You know, I think it probably would. With a hybrid swing, a little different than an iron swing. Iron, you're taking a divot, so you've got to deal with that harder turf condition. Hybrid's more of a, just brushing the ground type stroke, more similar to a fairway wood. So the hard, unless you miss swing it, that turf's not going to come into its play as much. And like I was saying, the way that sole is designed, being nice and wide and flat, it tends to want to glide over the grass rather than dig in and take a divot.
And I know when I've used one in thick grass, it just slides right through it and doesn't create any resistance. It just feels wonderful.
Yeah, they definitely don't want to hang up in the rough as well.
How many do you carry in your bag?
I have two right now.
Which ones, and what have you replaced?
I got to think about this. I believe it's an 18 and 21, and I've replaced my 2 and 3 iron.
And is it because you weren't hitting those two clubs well, or you just like the way this feels, or because this is what's happening in the industry right now?
Well, really, I was, my 4-iron, I felt pretty confident on. I hit it 205 to 210, and I could do that pretty consistently. Occasionally, like a 3-iron, I could get to go to, 215, but not very often. Normally, it would be right around that 205. And the same with the 2-iron on it. If I really caught it, it could go 225 for me, but I just really had to hit it perfect to get that. So I was really finding myself, when I was 225 out, just having to hit my absolute best shot. And when I went to the hybrid, now I have those clubs for that 225-yard shot that I can hit much more consistently.
I got to ask you this, John Kay. I had a friend who was a baseball executive for a number of years and hated to tell people when he was traveling on planes or out in the public, hated to tell people what he did. He said he was an insurance salesman. That way no one would start asking him questions. I got to imagine that you get questions when people find out your name and they know golf at all, or do you try to avoid that as well? What happens with you?
The usual question is, what golf clubs do I play? And I've got to laugh, for the thousandth time at the joke when they make it. besides that, it's a fun industry to be in because it is something that's fun to talk about. There's a lot of golfers out there. So, I usually enjoy it because I can talk golf with people, and it usually goes well.
Okay. I was just curious about that.
But I do always get, so do you got Wilson's in your bag, or, you playing, different brands, and I'm just like... I've heard that one before.
Well, actually, that's an interesting question. Do you ever play with different brands? As an engineer, do you ever feel different brands, play with them, and see what they feel like compared to what your product
does? Yeah,
we
definitely get them in, and we test them. And, I've been out on the range. I've tried the square drivers and done all that different stuff. So don't really go out and, play in any events with them, but I'll definitely go out and hit them and see what's going on.
Interesting. Who benefits the most from using a hybrid club?
I would say, the slower swinger golfer is going to benefit the most because it's going to help them replace more clubs in their bag that they struggle with. So, they're going to be playing 2 or 3 hybrids and really add some consistent gaps throughout their set and, put that 180-yard shot back or 160-yard shot even you know, back into the game where they can get to the green.
Well, John Kay, really, this has been fascinating, and I want to know, could you come back again and join us and continue this conversation?
Yeah, I definitely can. It's been very enjoyable.
Well, thank you, and that's an invitation to you to join us for episode number 5 of The Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf Podcast. It will be a continuation of our conversation on hybrids featuring John K. Solheim, Vice President of Engineering for Ping and third generation of the Solheim family who started the Ping Company many years ago. Now, Kenny, I would like to give away a hybrid and let people have the choice of which one they want. Would that be okay with you?
Hold on, just say, yeah, that's fine. We'll go ahead and do that.
Oh, I didn't ask. Kenny, is it okay if we give away a hybrid of their choice?
I don't have a problem with it at all.
Well, then we won't tell your boss about this either.
It's hard to kind of keep this thing under wraps, though.
Well, it's growing in size. If you'd like to win the hybrid of your choice, here's all you have to do. Go to golfbetterpodcast.com and click on the words "Register to Win" near the bottom of the page. Deadline for entries will be August 18th, 2007, and we'll announce the name of the winner not on the next episode, but the one after that, when we bring up a whole new topic and decide what you get to win then. We invite you to also write a review on iTunes of our program so that other golfers have a better sense of what you think of this show. And if you have any feedback at all or suggestions on a topic you'd like us to cover, please send an email to golfbetter@edwinwattsgolf.com.